Yo, what up, hustlers? Thank you for tuning in today, wherever you may be in your walk of your life or your grind. I'm just so appreciative that you decided to take the time today and check out this episode of Be Real. Got a new episode here for you today. New episode, new dawn, new day, new month, June. It's busting out all over. And we're about to bust out this brand new interview with my good friend Jamila. Before we get started, I just want to reiterate how stoked I am for this season and the forthcoming conversations that have been had on manifestation. Bringing back something from last season, I will admit that my imposter syndrome has reared its head many a times in this process already for the second season. Of course, I'm trying to field these doubts and insecurities and anxieties that I have been having about bringing these topics to your ear. I have doubted my ability to talk about manifestations. I've doubted the amount of research that I've done on the matter, and I've questioned my talent and my worth and my ability to bring forth such an important conversation that needs to be had and needs to be addressed by every developing artist and developing entrepreneur. And so I was feeling these doubts, and then a friend and cast member said something really uplifting to me today, and I'm going to share it with you in hopes that it will also bring you some light and levity. I was explaining my doubts and my fears to him, and he told me, it is not your job to make someone appreciate what you create or what you bring forth into the world. It's not your job. Your job is to create without worrying about whether it's good or not. Your job is to create from the heart. Create honestly and authentically and with intention. And if you do so, you will find that there are other humans on this planet that can relate in some way to what you are wholeheartedly displaying. Your job is not to decide if it's good or not, if it'll sell tickets, if people will tune in, if people will follow you back. Your job is simply to create. And so here I am, wholeheartedly ecstatic to bring you the following episode.
Be real. I'm still working on my theme song.
Be real.
Yeah. What up, queen?
Not too much. Happy to be here with you.
Thanks for being here. Yeah, I mean, I'm here at your place.
I guess here because you are leaving soon in a few days.
Yeah.
And I feel very fortunate that we had some time together before your departure. So I'm happy you're here.
Blessings right out the gate. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy that we got to know each other. For the time that we did. But what's so funny is that we could have known each other. Technically, we could have met like a year ago.
Yes.
It's very possible.
We probably were on the same subway train at some point in Harlem, just not even knowing each
Definitely.
Other. It took Bangkok to bring us together.
It really did. It took both of us displacing ourselves and traveling across the world.
Yeah.
To meet. And that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
It is. That's the universe, though.
That's the universe working. What did the universe tell you to get you to this point? Like, how did you get here? How did the universe assist you in manifesting this journey?
I think the universe helped me to get here by allowing me to be real with myself about where I was with my life. I was working at a job I wasn't happy with. I was living a life that I didn't imagine for myself. And I think the universe put all of that in front of me and kind of forced me into a place where I had to make a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The job. What were you doing?
Oh, God. The job. So I worked in the hedge fund industry for almost 13 years. Was doing accounting work. I was good at my job. I think that was part of it, too, because in order to be somewhere for so long, you have to be, you know, doing what you're doing well. And I was successful in all, you know, senses of the word. The last job I was at, I actually got promoted to a senior vice president, which was like something I had wanted my entire career. It was something my mentor wanted for me. And literally a few months after that, I just quit. Everybody was like, isn't that what you were working for? And I was like, I don't think it's not fulfilling me though.
This sounds like a movie or something. I've seen this. This is on Netflix.
Is this right? On Netflix?
Right, I'm pretty sure. I streamed this on Netflix last week. What is it? Like, you sound like an Eat, Pray, Love story. But you know what though? I sense a little Eat, Pray, Love in myself as well. Yeah, and I sense that in everybody that I've met.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of us came here soul searching and not knowing what we were looking for, but knowing that wherever we were was not serving us fully. So we have to leave that space.
And it usually does feel so, so dramatic. Well, and why does it have to be so dramatic?
It's so dramatic.
Like then I just dropped everything.
I didn't mean to make it so dramatic. Like, I didn't mean to just move to Thailand. But that was what was in the cards for me and my husband. And my husband lived here for 12 years ago. And when we started dating like 6 or 7 years ago, he'd always talk about like Thailand and Bangkok. Like, you know, I had such a good life there. The cost of living was good. Like, life was just easier. So when we thought about where we should go, you know, we were like, let's maybe try out 2 spots and let's hit Bangkok. Like, it'll be a nice transition. It will be, I think what a lot of us have discovered here is because the cost of living is relatively low compared to other places, it's a comfortable transition. You don't come here with the struggle of how am I going to afford it in your mind. Instead, you can kind of let go of the worry of money and just live.
Yes.
You know?
And just live.
Just live.
Focus that energy and the anxiety, the time that you spend stressing out about how you're going to survive on a daily basis, and live.
Yeah, just live.
Live. Yeah. Live. But even like when the cost is low, it just makes you realize how much everything else could elevate your life in such a better way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You see the beauties in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. How difficult was the transition as far as leaving everything behind? Not everything, but you know, like leaving...
Like in that sense of the word, like leaving your life.
Yeah.
Like this life that you built and created.
Yeah. What were the barriers to your manifestation?
It's so interesting because it's... And I feel like it's such a juxtaposition at the same time because I feel like the same barriers that I had were also able to encourage me and support me. So, like, you know, family and friends, mm-hmm. biggest support system.
Yeah.
They're the reason I'm here. Like, my mom has my dog. But at the same time, it was also a barrier because I didn't want to leave them. And they didn't want me to necessarily leave at times either. So, you know, there were things where, you know, you felt so drawn to, you know, this life you've created and the environment you're in, but you know when it's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of going back to the earlier point about the universe. Like, if you're listening and you make space to hear it, you will know.
Mm.
Because you will see the signs. Mm-hmm. Like, and you will not be able to ignore them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Is that you can't ignore it. Exactly. You can't avoid it. But it's persisting for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're uncomfortable for a reason.
Exactly.
You're unhappy for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can do something about it.
Exactly. But I mean, it's like how, I think for some of us, it becomes easy to rationalize the discomfort that you feel when you know you need change.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, as you were saying, it's so traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And the change is sometimes not a rational decision
right.
to make. Like, if you really think about things from a logical perspective in most situations, like, you will discourage yourself from, you know, following your intuition, following your heart, and doing what you know you need to do for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy, but I think it's just us also being accustomed to having, like, that safety net.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, feels
of course.
Good.
Security.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance.
Speaking of, like, for the first time in my adult life, I don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
I haven't had health insurance for almost 5 months now. And I'm alive. Bessie, I think I look pretty healthy.
You look good.
You know?
You look good. And you look like you're well kept.
You know? And I'm okay, but it's honestly, if you would have said to me 2 years, Jamila, you would be riding dirty in Southeast Asia with no health insurance, I would have looked at you like, wait a minute, no health insurance? Like, that's not a possibility. Like, so I think as you start to put yourself in more of these, you know, uncomfortable situations and you let go of what provided you security, you just start to expand.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what the real gag is? The real gag about the insurance, though, is that the reasons that are holding you back mm-hmm. are the reasons why you have to have insurance.
Exactly.
Because it's really, you know, a lot of it is anxiety.
It's anxiety, yeah.
Anxiety, it's what you do, the actions that come from feeling that anxiety,
mm-hmm.
like what you do to combat that.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is your passion? What are you passionate about?
What am I passionate about? I'm passionate about living. I'm passionate about, you know, meeting people, experiencing new things. I'm passionate about supporting other people. And also I've realized I'm passionate about inspiring others because I found that what me and my husband were able to do, although we didn't realize it, has been such an inspiration for so many people we know. And, you know, the amount of friends who I've had, you know, send me a message and just say, you know, seeing you out there, Jam, like, this is making me thinking, I think I could be out there too, you know. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm passionate about, you know, inspiring people and supporting people to, you know, go after whatever it is that, you know, brings them that fulfillment. I'm not saying you need to move across the world, but whether it is leaving a profession you don't like, whether it is, you know, breaking away from an unhealthy relationship, like whatever it is that you need to do to, you know, feel more fulfilled and live the life that you want for yourself, like, we can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I feel that on such a level.
Yeah.
And especially about, you know, it doesn't have to be a major change.
Does
it? It doesn't have to be a major change to elevate your life.
It does not.
It could be a tiny little shift. Just in the way that you see yourself.
Exactly.
Or the way that you see a future for yourself.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Why do we hold this attachment to the need to take care of others?
Yeah.
Before we take care of ourselves. You know, there's the golden rule. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to yourself.
Exactly.
And I feel like for many people, including myself for a time, and still, you know, a little bit now, the do unto others is the key point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's treat everybody with respect.
Yeah.
You know, be nice to everybody else. Make sure that everybody in your life is taken care of.
That's good,
you know, make sure that everybody is good because that is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I have found trouble often placing the balance between the second part
mm-hmm.
as you would have done to yourself.
Exactly.
Like, what does that mean?
But don't you see, interestingly enough, in that phrase, it talks about others first and the self second.
Yeah.
So just that golden rule has us putting ourselves towards the back.
Yeah, on the back burner.
On the back burner. Like, and it causes us to think, you know, in order for me to do for myself, I must do for others first. But
yes.
What I've come to realize is that the more I focus on myself and make sure that I am good, the more I then have overflow to give to others.
Yes.
Like when Jamila is good when Jamila has woken up and meditated and written her journal and done her yoga, all of a sudden I find myself with this infinite overflow of energy that I can give to everybody else. Versus a day when I wake up, I forget all my practices, I run out the door, I'm like scrambling all day to get things done. I don't have enough time. And I don't have time for anybody else, and anybody else that wants my time, it feels like they're taking too much from me. And that's because I didn't make space for myself. And that, like, it's so counterintuitive to how we would think, you know, because I feel like we come from this westernized culture where we never have enough time. We're always running out of time. There's not enough hours in the day. We want more hours in the day. But the more time you take for yourself, the universe just creates this abundance of like time and energy for you, and you will see that everything gets done.
Yeah.
Everything happens.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah. There will be time for everything.
There will be time for everything. And usually when there isn't time for something or someone or something that you thought you needed to give time to, there was probably a reason why there wasn't time for that in the moment.
Yeah. And that's just something you need to
be okay let go with. Yeah, and let go
and put it, leave it where it is.
Exactly.
You know, leave those people where they lay.
Mm-hmm.
Leave those situations in the past. They're already gone.
Exactly.
They're already gone. Release it.
Let go.
Yeah, let go. You know, the speaking of travel, when you're on an airplane and they do the boarding safety announcements and everything that, they talk about the air
mask, the mask,
oxygen mask coming down from the ceiling, and they always say, you know,
put yours on first. Exactly.
Put yours on first before you assist anybody around you.
Exactly.
Because you are no good to anybody.
Exactly.
Unless you are taking care of yourself.
Yeah. That's such a good metaphor. It's so simple, but it's so true.
Yeah. That's not an original. I think I read that somewhere, so okay. I'll be honest.
I mean, it was original for me.
Yeah. We were talking about something related earlier. We were discussing Brené Brown about this book that I'm reading called Rising Strong, and she talks about giving yourself permission to really anything, giving yourself permission to the joys of your own life, giving yourself permission to feel
emotions.
Yeah. Let them happen. Mm-hmm. Let them flow. Let them bubble up inside you, process it, and then be able to release it.
Exactly.
Give yourself permission to go through the motions.
Yeah.
You know? Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that way, you will be able to help others.
Exactly.
And you will be able to help yourself and manifest things for yourself. You can see your own trajectory clearly.
Totally. I mean, I think this idea of giving ourselves permission is counterintuitive to what we've been told. And we have to kind of hardwire ourselves in a way where we make it okay for ourselves to feel certain emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, celebrate small accomplishments, like just being fully present for ourselves all the time. And I think, especially as you were saying with emotions, being able to let go and not claim, you know, feeling emotions are fine. And I think it's important when an emotion comes to me, you know, myself, I want to feel it. I want to be with it. I want to be present with it. But it also doesn't then have to dictate how I then behave or react or, you know, treat someone. It's okay to have emotions, but, you know, it's okay to feel and allow yourself that time to feel, but also create the space for yourself where you're not necessarily reacting or dictated by those things that you're feeling in the moment.
Yeah. I find myself often, this is a huge habit of mine, is that I overanalyze and overprocess things.
Yes.
I always say, I describe myself as, I feel things very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel my emotions very strongly. I'm very in touch with my emotions, you know? And it's a beautiful thing because I feel, in a way, like it is one of my gifts in that when I feel emotions for myself, I am more able to sense emotions from others, and we can connect mm-hmm. on an emotional level and more of a personal, intimate level. But at the same time, when given too much power, mm-hmm. those emotions can take over all of your thought power, all exactly. of your thought energy, all of your time, you know, laying in bed just exactly. thinking about something.
Your mind just running.
Just running.
Storylines and yes. things that do not exist.
Yes. And you know what's so funny is that's not too many degrees of separation away from meditation.
Exactly.
You know, meditation does not mean completely like
well, and
chill
that's
your
why
brain
I think
thoughts.
So many people think they cannot meditate because they're under this assumption that meditation means that you are completely silent and you have no thoughts. And in my world, that is not meditation. Meditation is being able to be still enough to observe the thoughts, know that they're there, sit with them, and then let them go.
Let them go.
Let them go.
Let them go. That's the key.
For me, with my meditation practice, when I'm meditating unguided, like not listening to someone speaking or guiding me through a practice, something I like to listen to is waves. Because like I think about my thoughts sometimes as waves, because sometimes they come in
yes.
and they just take over and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so immersed in this thought. But then eventually the waves go back out. The thought can be released.
Yeah.
And it's just that idea of just, you know, allowing it to come and then letting it go.
Yeah.
And finding those moments of stillness in between those thoughts. And eventually that leads to extended periods of where your mind can be silent and you're not working. It's no work. Mm-hmm. It becomes effortless.
What are the steps that you take to meditating on a manifestation?
Meditate. Well, I think a big part of that for me is like visualization. Being able to visualize and see myself in whatever it is I'm trying to manifest for myself. I love to write, so for me, also sometimes journaling and, you know, kind of bringing whatever it is that I want into existence so I can write it and it's tangible, I can see it.
Yeah.
And then I close my eyes and I can visualize it and I can allow myself to almost have an imaginative journey with it where I say, like, this is what this would look like. This is what it would feel like. This is what it would taste like. This is what it would smell like, you know, and fully allowing myself to be in that place. And, you know, as it relates to a meditative practice, thinking about, you know, all of those other thoughts that come in while you're, you know, laying there trying to focus on whatever it is you want to manifest for yourself and just continuing to bring yourself back there, because you're going to have distractions, you're going to have things that come and get in the way, and, you know, you can give those things the time that they need, but always bringing yourself back to the goal, to what it is that I want, yeah. what it is that I'm focused on for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The visualization, the giving it mental presence.
Yeah. Yeah. Making it real.
Yeah. Making it real.
Let's be real for a second. Our thoughts will stay thoughts. Our dreams will stay dreams until we give our ideas the fighting chance to become reality. It starts in the mind. It starts with telling yourself, yes, this is actually what I want and I'm going to fight for it. And this is exactly how I'm going to execute this plan. These are the steps. I am making myself available for change. I am fully prepared and ready to accept this elevated potential that the universe has in store for me. That's the first step. Once we have cleared out the space in our mind for this growing dream, this growing aspiration, once we have started to build the empire within our mind, we then have to take our efforts outside into the physical world and begin to build a community around ourselves that will support this dream, support this aspiration. And as we will discuss in future episodes, this is when you begin to build your tribe and when you begin to realize what community you want to insert yourself in. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, I'm not exactly sure what I want out of my community or what I want my community to look like. I'm not exactly sure what kind of minds I want to surround myself with or the kind of creativity that I want to influence my own creativity. If you are asking these questions to yourself, I highly recommend that you start practicing building your community by experimenting with your virtual online network. It's 2019, y'all. Not only do we have the opportunity to create these beautiful personal connections with each other physically, but we also have the great gift of the internet to connect us virtually across the world or in the same city. Say you're currently experimenting with your community and what you want it to look like, the kinds of minds and mindsets that you want to fill that community, the kinds of themes that you want influencing your environment. What better way to get a taste of those different aspects than to fill your social network with these types of mindsets and moods and aesthetics? Currently, I have been flooding my newsfeed with posts and pictures and captions that all have to do with manifestations and pursuing and elevating one's hustle or one's grind. I actually follow the hashtag manifesting on Instagram. Some of my other favorite posts when I'm scrolling through Instagram come from the account The Female Hustlers, and their goal is to empower babes who want to make a change in this world. And one of my top favorite accounts to follow is from our own Miss Jamila. She runs her own motivational page called The Butterfly Tribe that intends to inspire and share transformations. I highly encourage you to follow both The Butterfly Tribe, Female Hustlers, and even the hashtag manifesting. Be sure to follow our show's Instagram account at BeRealPodcast to get updates, motivational pictures, and quotes, and also facts about our upcoming guests. And hashtag talk about it. Talk back to us about your favorite accounts to follow, your favorite motivational quotes, and inspirational people who encourage you to do your very best and get on your grind. That is all we have for today. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the grind.